it's kind of a three-part series that we're doing. Alice and Alex shared a bit last week, which I thought they did a fantastic job. I checked out the YouTube video. And so the purpose of tonight is just to share a bit about a few things that I've learned whilst being in Bristol, you know, specifically the past year or so. Alice and Alex kind of, you know, when they were sharing last week, I know Alex shared about, you know, living more boldly. You know, he was sharing about his flatmates and how he's got to live more boldly and stand out, you know, spiritually for his flatmates. He also shared about, you know, how that caused him to strengthen certain weaker convictions that he had. You know, Alice shared a lot about, you know, how being in Bristol the last year has really challenged her to grow closer in her relationship with God through her prayer time and through her, you know, reading of the Bible on a daily basis. And then together, the two of them shared about how, you know, their dating relationship and the spiritual relationships they had around them, the impact that that had on their time being in Bristol. You know, so I thought they did a really good job. So, I'll start off with photos. I love photos. I'm quite a visual person, so I love a couple of photos. And this clicker is pretty cool. So, you know, these are some of the photos and some of the highlights that have happened the last year in Bristol. You know, we had our outdoor service, similar to Wellington. We just pitch up at some, you know, it's not as organized as Wellington. We pitched up at some field and just chilled outside. Everybody brought some food, we sang. So it's good. This was actually Rashad and Jess's first, you know, kind of church service there. This was our flat. So we Tim and Chevy supplied loads of pizzas and we had a bunch of young people over, and so it was great to chill. And here we had a games night in our flat, so the lady sitting there and actually someone sitting here, they were two visitors that we had around. You know, we went a bit of door knocking and they came around. We all just played cards and ate some more food. That was actually vegan food because we had some vegan people come over. We had Joshua and Karina come and visit us last month, so it was great to see more young people come. And look how beautiful Bristol is, sunshine, no rain, weather's fantastic because it's the west coast of the UK. And then this was at Rashad and Jess's leaving do, so we, you know, a bunch of the church people there and a lovely church service that we had over here. So, you know, all good things are happening in Bristol. Food. Bristol is great, and if you come and visit me in Bristol, I'll take you to some amazing food places. So, you know, everything we do revolves around food. I think living with Mark, you realize that, and you know, I'm a big foodie as well, so I love food. So, you know, everything revolves. Here we had at about 11 o'clock, we had a brother from Seattle come and visit us, and we went to a fish and chips place. They do gluten-free fish and chips. Amazing. It's like my best place. Again, hot wing challenges. So, you know, although we all look content here, about half an hour into this, we were literally crying, standing over the sink, you know, but loads of fun. Me and Mark Rashad, burgers. TJ came to visit, took him to my favorite kind of meat place, and had a bunch of more young people. Jamie came over. Just loads of amazing memories. But that's not what we're here to talk about. But I thought we'd start with a few photos because, you know, so many good things have been happening in Bristol. You know, it's such a fun place. The longer I live within Bristol, the longer I fall in love with the place. I fall in love with the city, the surrounding area of Bristol, the countryside, the food, the people, the culture. It's like London, but it's a more hipster version of London. And hippies are in fashion again, so it's amazing. And Bristol was actually voted the best place to live. And it's just awesome. So more people need to move there. Spread the word. But tonight, kind of, I'll share specifically about what I've been learning spiritually. Beside the food and the good friends and everything, one of the biggest things I've learned this year is that God works unexpectedly. You know, I shared a bit about this when I was preaching a couple of weeks ago or a month. I don't even know when it was. This year is going so quick. But when I preached, you know, I shared about how God works unexpectedly. And it's been a massive thing that I've seen within Bristol. It's amazing how, you know, moving to Bristol, that is a lot smaller. Our church service aren't even this big. But moving to a church like that, you know, logically I'm a planner. I like planning things. And as I was sharing when I was, you know, preaching, I like planning things logically. And if we need a church, we want to grow it, we need, you know, these type of students or these type of young professionals, and God will surely work with, you know, that to help a church grow. But I've been so humbled, because God doesn't always work, you know, in the way that logically humans would work. You know, He works unexpectedly. And a scripture that you know, really kind of cements this view is a scripture I found, and I was just blown away by reading this. So, in Numbers 21, if you guys can turn your Bibles there or make notes, it's on the screen. But Numbers 21, it's labeled the bronze snake. So, you know, it's the Israelites kind of in the desert, they're all traveling, and you know, we pick up here, you know, they would travel from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on their way. They spoke against God, against Moses, and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? You know, there is no bread, there is no water, and the desert, and we detest this miserable food." They should have come to Bristol.
They should
have. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We've sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, this is just crazy. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake, put it up on a pole. Anyone who's bitten can look at it and they'll live." So Moses made a bronze snake, put it on a pole. Then, when anyone was bitten by the snake and looked at the pole, looked at the bronze snake, they lived. You know, this is so crazy, because the Israelites they've become impatient, they've sinned against God, and God then just sends out venomous snakes. You know, He's like, "Cool, here we go, snakes. It'll bite you guys, and the Israelites, you guys have, you know, been bad, you'll just die." They realize what they've done, they're humble, they go back to God, and Moses say, "We've sinned, we really want to repent, we want to go back to God." Instead of God just, logically, if I planned this situation, I would just take the snakes away, wouldn't you? Instead of just taking the snakes away, what does God say to Moses? "Build this bronze snake and put it on a pole so that they can look at it." For me, this was a massive lesson, because it can be frustrating when you're in a small church. It can be frustrating when you're not around all of your friends. It can be frustrating when you're not around family. You can become impatient with, you know, me specifically, not you, I became impatient with what God's plan was. "God, what is your plan for Bristol? I want it to grow quicker than it's growing." Haven't we all felt that? You know, "I want these people I'm studying the Bible with to just get it. Why are they taking so slow? It's so easy. Please, God, why? What's the situation here? God, I'm being persecuted at work. Why is this so frustrating?" For me, I became, you know, impatient with God's plan. And kind of like the Israelites, I was like, "Wow, I am becoming impatient." I had people there to remind me, which I'll touch upon in a second. But God very quickly humbled me and showed me that it's not about your way or your will or your plan or your timeline, Heinrich. Take a step back. I'm in control. And that's what I preach about, you know, about how, you know, Jesus surrendered once He said, "Let your will be done." It was easier for Jesus to surrender when He said, "Let your will be done" to God. And in the same way, you know, I felt very much like, okay, it's easy for me to surrender, but what is the plan still here, God? But once I surrendered and when I preached, I said the same thing. You know, I was preaching for logical plans in Bristol. Once I took a step back and I said, "God, let your will be done. Give Bristol what you think it needs." God so answered that prayer so unexpectedly. You know, literally the next week at work, I reached out to this girl called Beth, who Cherie has also been chatting to, and she actually sits in the same team as Cherie. But you know, she started coming along to these Bible discussions, and please still pray for Beth. And you know, me and Rashad and Jess decided to bake cookies. We decided to do something different. We baked cookies. We went to go meet people. We met these, you know, vegans who live in these block of flats that we used to live in. And they started coming along. We've been having some very interesting conversations with them. But it's amazing how unexpectedly God just worked. Not according to my plan, but he delivered in a very different manner, which to me was just amazing. The other thing that I picked up on this scripture that was a big thing for me in Bristol is, you know, make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who's bitten can look at it and live. The way I see that is that, you know, God wanted a consistent reminder for the people that he was in control. Because if the snakes just went away, they'd probably become impatient again. But the snakes stayed there. We see that it still bit a few people, but the new solution was look at the pole, then remember that I'm in control. Me being God, I'm in control. And every time you look at the pole and this snake that's made of bronze, just reflect and remember that, yes, you're in an uncomfortable situation right now, but I'm in control. I have a plan. Yeah. To me, that was an incredible thing to learn. Because although I'm in these small, uncomfortable pockets of situations, whether it be, you know, me being far from family and just missing it, and, you know, now I'm moving into this new stage of, you know, Mark moving more towards Oxford, and Rashad has already gone back to Canada, and Jess has gone to Canada, and there's the summer break, so Alice and Alex are away, so it's just me there. So even moving into that, that can become an uncomfortable situation. But I'm excited to see how God is going to work unexpectedly. You know, I'm excited, having been there for a while now, I'm excited and I've been reminded that, wow, God has been so faithful to me. Small things, you know, for me personally, it was, you know, at my work, I'm in sales, so when you're in sales, you get targets. And going into this year, I was very, was doing a series for the Bristol Church about finding contentment, you know, and how Paul says, I found the secret to be content in any situation. And I was exploring this idea of finding the secret of being content. And within that, a big thing is, again, is put your requests to God, God will deliver them. That's a whole nother lesson. But within that, this year, God has been so faithful with my targets. It's something small, but and I can't take any glory for what has happened at work. You know, I've not just hit my targets, but God has been so grateful to help me exceed my targets by a lot. And I can only thank God for that. But he's been so faithful, and he has delivered certain opportunities and deals in ways that I would have never even logically thought that this is the way the deal was going to go. Friendships have developed in a way that have been so amazing. And again, I would have never been like, you know, if I could stand back, this is how I would plan the friendship. Yeah. But with hindsight, I can look and I can see, wow, look how faithful God was. He was so faithful. And those small things, to me, remains almost, you know, the bronze snake. Yeah. I can look at those things and I can realize and remember, I'm heading into an uncomfortable situation now in Bristol, but throughout the last year, these are my bronze snakes. Look how faithful God was. And that really humbles me so much, you know. It really just wants me to remain in God. You know, it really just wants me to remain in God. It challenges me to want to read my Bible, be faithful to God, because he is so faithful to us as, you know, his people and his children. So my question to you is, what is your bronze snake? You know, what helps you to remember that God is faithful? You know, when you're heading into an uncomfortable situation, what helps you to think about the fact that God works unexpectedly? He's not going to deliver things on our terms and conditions, but what helps you to really challenge yourself to realize that God, you know, this is my bronze snake. I need to look at this. I need to remember that you are in control. You know, that's a big thing that, you know, for me, I've really been reminded about. You know, what reminds you that God is in control? The other thing as well is, you know, what helps you to be humble to His will and His way? You know, those are three key questions that I came up with when I was reflecting about it. It's like, wow, you know, I need to remind myself, what is my bronze snake? Okay, so the second thing that I've learned is this, and this is the last point, is God really blesses boldness. He really blesses boldness. This is a big thing that I learned this year. I know Alex shared a bit about this lot, you know, in his session when, you know, he was bold in certain situations with sharing his faith with some new, what do you call a new start? I mean, not a new start, but yeah, fresher, there we go. I'm so in business mode, a new start at work. But, you know, Alex was sharing about this fresher that, you know, asked him questions about Bristol and drugs and this and that. And Alex said, well, you know, due to my religious reason, I don't really take any drugs. And this new start, I mean, goodness me, this fresher then said, you know, I don't take drugs. I'm Christian. And the two of them have, you know, developed a friendship. And I met him once. I think his name is Robert, if I remember correctly. But, you know, that boldness that Alex had, God blessed. If Alex had not said he was not a Christian, who knew where that guy would have gone? He would have never found that common ground that that guy's also a Christian. And then the same way in you know, in my life, this has been a massive thing in Bristol. You know, God blessing boldness. But for me, it was not so much learning in the same way that Alex learned it by sharing faith or being open about my Christianity or something. That's something I learned fairly early on. For me, it was a boldness of stepping out of my comfort zone that God blessed and is blessing. And I'm hoping that He blesses more. Because, again, you know, when we think about this church congregation we're in, it's so easy, and it was so easy for me when I was here in Thames Valley to come, sit, worship, listen to a good lesson, fellowship with the people I really get along with, and then go home. But stepping into a small church taught me so much about going out of my comfort zone because, oh my goodness, there is a lot to be thinking about. Yes. Rotas. You know, you've got to sort organize rotas. You've got to organize when people can talk, when they can't talk, you know. You've got to think about, okay, well, are we making everybody feeling loved, you know? Have we considered this person on the rota? Have we considered this person? Have we asked this person? A lot to do with rotas. I mean, goodness. You've got to book the venues. You know, you've got to think about the venues. Oh, but that's a bank holiday. Will the venues be open? Da-da-da-da-da. You've got to think about the kids' classes. Most of your kids, not mine yet, but most of your kids are in their relevant classes. The teens, the preteens, the younger kids. We've got to organize those rotas. And we've got to organize all of the lessons that go around that. The worships on Sundays. You've got to think about the songs. You've got to think about what the theme's going to be. What the guy's going to be talking about. What songs relate to that. The list goes on and on and on. You've got to be in touch with who's on holiday. Because if the guitarist is not, you know, isn't there in Bristol, who can we use? What can we do? How can we work around that? So with Bristol, and I've shared this a few times, you know, I am not a good singer by any stretch of imagination. You know? I've never had singing lessons or anything like that. But in Bristol, I've been required to song lead now and then. You know?
Show us.
No, I won't show us yet. We're on a time constraint here. But, you know, in Bristol, I've been... Malcolm, you're not supposed to be doing this. but you know, within Bristol, I've had to step up out of... hugely out of my comfort zone to do that. I enjoy the talking side of things. I enjoy the organising side of things. But the singing, not so much. You know, God... Paul talks about the body and... how the body's got many different members, and if it's teaching, teach, and giving, give generously. Singing's not my area. I won't do that. But I've been required to do that. You know, I've been required to do something that's completely out of my comfort zone. This Sunday, I really messed up a song. Hands up. I mean, someone in the congregation started laughing at me because, you know, it was bad. It was bad. I, you know, it was a high song. I'm not a high singer, and I started it off well, but someone's pitch threw me off, and then I read the sentence below, and oh, it was just a bit of a disaster. But, you know, so be it. Yeah. So be it. Again, you know, there was another service that, you know, we had in Bristol, and I was set to do the lesson and preach on the Sunday, and then, you know, Austin couldn't make it, so Alice told me that morning that, okay, we've got to think of songs. And so me and Alice were communicating about songs, and we had someone set up for the welcome and the communion, and I was like, great, okay, I'll help Alice do the song leading, and then I'll have a bit of a period to relax and, you know, take communion and think about that, and then do the message. And as we turn up to church, I got a message saying that the person doing welcome is going to be super late. Can someone take it up? And there was no one else. And so I was like, okay. And as we turn up and I did the welcome, the person doing communion said they can't be there. And so I was like, well, okay, I can't really turn to someone and say, hey, bro, can you do communion like after this song? And so turned up, had to do songs, led them with Alice. Went straight into the welcome, welcoming everybody. Did another song. Did the communion. And then after the communion, tied it in with a bit of a hope talk, and then did the message. And so it's not because I want to, you know, be the head show or, you know, anything like that. But sometimes things like that require us to be a bit bold, but for God. You know, it's so easy for me to not have reflected on this in a bigger church. It's so easy for me to fall into a way where I'm not thinking about how can I be bold? How can I help in certain areas? What can I do more? And I think that's probably a good thing why I went to Bristol, because in Bristol, it's not a fact of how can I do more. It's a fact of, you know, you're going to be chucked into the deep end. You've got to do more. There's nothing you can do about it. So for me, that was a massive lesson. You know, it was a massive lesson to not become too comfortable in my comfort zone. And a scripture that I love, that I feel really sums that up, is Jonah. You know, we all know the story of Jonah. We all know that the first time God asked Jonah to go and preach the message to Nineveh, we all know that he was scared. He tried to run away from his responsibilities. He was not bold, you know, he ran away from that. And we know what happened. Again, God answered the prayer of the fisherman in an unexpected way. He sent a whale, like, goodness me. Then Jonah stayed in the whale for 3 days. He prayed a lot, he reflected a lot. And then we read over here, you know, the second time, you know, the word comes around, Jonah gets his boldness back. We see here that Nineveh was a large city. You know, now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed in God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warnings reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This convicts me so much. It's exciting when I come back here and I hear about, you know, our small service as well. You know, Poole and Basingstoke and all of the others. It's exciting to see that we've got people willing to be a bit bold. You know, to go into a smaller community and a smaller city, that's a very difficult thing to do. You know, Bristol, that's very difficult. Although we're having a lot of fun and things, it's still very difficult to proclaim the message. It's very difficult to find people who are truly open and willing to want to listen to the message. And that can, for me, cause me to be like the first phase of Jonah. Go back into my comfort zone. I don't want to talk about church. I can't really be bothered right now. I don't really want to share about what God is doing in Bristol because I just can't be bothered right now. I don't feel bold enough to do anything for God right now. And it's so easy to, like Jonah, run away. But this has really challenged me to hold on to the fact that God will be faithful in Bristol. You know, God will be faithful in all of the other churches we have. God will be faithful here in Thames Valley. You know, it's such a big lesson for me, you know, this year is to really, as we're moving into this new phase with the unity that we've just managed to build among the young people, how that has been dispersed again, and we've got some going to Canada, and Mark in Oxford, and you know, I'm not living with any Christians anymore. I was saying to Mark last night, we did a workout, and oh my goodness, he beat me up hard. But you know, it was great to just chill with Mark, and we really spoke about the future for Bristol. You know, what things do we need to start praying about now, you know, for Bristol? We know that when me and Alice moved down there first, it was a very lonely experience and a very challenging experience. And it was just me and Alice. But she's a student and I'm working, so schedules are very difficult to match up. You know, and so moving into that again, honestly, if I'm honest with you guys, I'm scared about moving into this new phase of Bristol. I really am. I'm scared to move into a new situation where I'm required to have a lot of faith.
Yeah.
And I'm required to have a lot of boldness again. Because that's what it's going to require. To help Bristol grow. So that's pretty much all I had for tonight, guys. You know, in summary again, you know, God works unexpectedly. You know, let's be excited about the plans that God has, because He is really faithful. You know, what is your bronze snake? You know, what reminds you of the fact that God is faithful and that God has a plan for us? What helps you to be surrendered to His will and not our will? You know, secondly, God really blesses boldness. You know, how can you step out into being more bold? How can you step out into challenging yourself to help out more within the church or the community around you or whatever that may be? You know, how can we be more bold for God? Thanks, guys.